There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. Phone number and the text line. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I guess as of Saturday, 17 years of the same number. So remember this one the way, even though I can't hardly remember anybody's number today, I remember Mom and Dad's house, that phone number, you know, back in the day. So remember this one like that. 251-343-0106 251-343-0106 for a call or a text, and with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talk back message. All right, and as he joined us at the end of last hour, but it's good to see my friend. He is bon vivant is the term I like to use, but of course, author, environmental journalist, filmmaker, camera guy, tour guide, nature explore, anything, boat freak like me, fiberglass freak. It's Ben Raines. Hey, man.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. And I wanted to like visit a couple things. So, number one, the tour's going on right now. I love this. And you mentioned the kids going, which I'm blown away that you got kids that are IDing birds like that.
Yeah,
I
mean,
my kids can grow up with me. I mean, could I identify owls because I taught them to owl early
because I
thought they'd turkey hunt with me, and crows. Although now I've learned recently we have two species of crows around here, but, you know, and blue jays and stuff and cardinals, and that's about maxed out for kids. And you're talking about these kids are identifying.
Warblers, the individual warblers and stuff. And I'm pretty good with, you know, ear birding and all. And with the Delta birds, I can, you know, I know a lot of them, but these kids, I just was blown away. And they weren't the only ones. I've had a whole bunch of kids this spring, and they just kind of have like, reaffirm my faith in humanity. You know, they're so into nature, and we catch all this stuff and put it in these little aquariums on the boat. You know, so you're seeing dragonfly larvae up close, and you're seeing, you know, the toe biter beetle I was showing
that
you.
That was crazy.
And it's just the adults love that stuff as much as the kids. But like, you know, because what we do, the reason I bring the nets and we catch the stuff is it's like a diet survey. This is what everything out here is eating, you know, and we're catching tadpoles and frogs and, you know, we're catching predators and but this is what all the wading birds are eating, you know, and so it's part of the, I guess what I try and do when we go in the Delta is introduce the whole place to you and show you how it works. So you look at it differently, you know, and.
Well, I said that last time, several times since I've been with you on a trip, and I'm a kid, you know, that grew up on the causeway. Yeah, I mean, that was what we did. And the things after a lifetime there that I still learned that I did not know. I mean, things you're dipping up in the dip net. You know, I was used to using dip net to get grass shrimp, to go brim fishing like that. But then there's this whole suite of other critters, and what are they doing? What are they about? And
well, you know, the part of the way that I sort of started figuring all that out was when I was at the paper. I was one of the only reporters with a boat, and I was the only one who shot his own pictures. And so I figured out if I went out in the Delta or the Bay or the Gulf and took pictures of something I could make up a story about, they were cool with me being outside.
Smart move.
So I kept having to go out and find something new and get a picture of it. And so then I just kept learning, you know, and piling it all into my head. And, you know, I love doing the trips. It beats working, I guess, you know.
It's cool, and it's cool to hear that the younger kids are getting into it, because I worry about that.
I do too.
And there's no way to define it, because, I mean, the frustration is this is, you know, away from this radio station, stuff outside is my whole life.
Yep.
And I got one kid kind of interested in it and one doesn't really care at all. So, it's good to know somebody else is, you know, that gene out there. You know, Mike Ward and I talk about on the Outdoor Show that there's just something, the reason, I don't know why I was like I was, and had, you know, my parents tell a famous story that in 1989 when I left, you know, graduated, went to college, their power bill in those dollars back then dropped by $100 a month because I shut down all my aquariums and stuff. That I'd go, you know, that was just what I did, but for a lot of kids, I just don't see it.
I had 6 aquariums in my bedroom as a teenager.
Yeah, I mean, they moved into the bathroom too. Right, I was out of control, but I didn't see that. I, you know, you hope, okay, those genetics will transfer to my kids, and they really haven't. But to know that there's other little Sean's out there is good.
And the earth needs them. So I'm inspired by our conversation. I'm going to offer your listeners a carrot.
Okay.
Kids under 18 coming with their family, $50 off for their tickets.
Very good.
So normally it's $150 a person. Yeah, you know, the boat's $900 for the day for 6 people.
Right.
But if you bring in some kids, I'm gonna
$50 off.
$50 off each of them.
So tell them they heard you say
they heard it on Sean Sullivan's show.
Very good. I mean, I know, I'm thinking about some of our listeners here. I know that have robust families.
Right. And, right. I may regret it. Yeah.
You'd be mom and dad and all them kids.
I had one grandmother who brought 5 grandkids. The youngest was age 2. And so we're at the boat ramp, and she says to me, my daughter says this is going to be a total poop show.
Yeah.
And I said to her, well, it's going to be my poop show.
And quickly.
And the kids had a great time. Yeah. We had a ball, even the 2-year-old, you know.
That's fun.
Yep.
So that's very good. So y'all take note of that. And by the way, book trips through?
You can do it through my website, which is benraines.org, or you can just reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook, or rainsorama@gmail.com is my email address. And, you know, something else people have been doing, if they book the whole boat, sometimes they want to bring their dog. And I'm totally cool with that. It's fun, you know, to have the dog better stay on the boat because there are a lot of big gators.
That's right. Well, you had the big story, you know, this week, the one at Tricentennial Park. And I'm just, you know, I mean, I feel sorry for, it's got to be traumatic, and the dog got out there. But, like, if there's water around here and it's not shallow and clear and you can't see everything, then you can take precaution. There can be an alligator. A dog looks a lot like things alligators eat.
Yeah.
You know, they do. Yeah. So be aware.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And you know, I get off the boat all the time, and people are sometimes freaked out by it. But, you know, you get out in those beautiful meadows around Lower Batty, and the ground's firm. You can walk. So I tell people, if you want to get out, bring boots, because then you can get some awesome pictures. And it's just – this is the time of year. The next May is, like, my favorite time of the year every year in the Delta, because so many things happen, and it's just beautiful. You know, you can't beat it. It's one of the most spectacular natural shows on the earth in springtime. And it's right here in our backyard.
Yeah, and the number of people, I'm glad, that have driven across the Bayway their whole life and haven't gone, that are starting to go and see it take it in. This is a great time. I started thinking about this kind of nerdy stuff that you and I would talk about, not on air, but we will. What are you getting to see? I mean, we're in a pretty substantial drought. As I always explain, there is a normal pattern to this. When you see cypress growing some distance from the bank, and it didn't because the river changed course, that shows you there was a drought cycle that got let them get rooted. But this is significant. I'm thinking up the river stuff, lower delta.
I've got trees dying in my yard, you know, like camphor trees, a bunch of them just pop, 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 and it's from the drought.
So what does that mean? You know, and I have not gotten to go, let's talk about upper delta. Let's go north of 65 and what that means, because also a lot of delta lilies up there and shows.
It didn't flood this year.
It did not.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's always a year that it's different. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder what you're going to see. Will there be things bloom that don't normally bloom that get covered up with, you know, nothing stopping the yellow top? Anything?
Well, what's interesting is more than the drought, the thing I'm seeing effect from is 2 really cold winters in a row. And that slows down a lot of the aquatic plants. It kills a lot of the invasive ones, which is good.
That's a good thing.
But it slows down our native ones a lot. And so we have a carnivorous plant in the Delta, the bladderwort. It barely bloomed. Normally it blooms in March. It's blooming right now.
Is that delayed?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Coming back, more. Get your questions, too, for Ben right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continue with my buddy Ben Raines, and I'm going to ask you the question that Tony and Ella and others have asked. Ben, what's the link to your YouTube channel?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Ella asked the same thing. Where's your YouTube channel?
It is Saving America's Amazon. That's what I changed the name to. So YouTube, Google, Saving America's Amazon. I'm up to 919 subscribers, trying to get to 1,000. And your show helped me last time I was on. I picked up 30 or 40.
So, well, let's get you over 1,000.
Yeah,
so you're not.
Yeah.
So once again, go to YouTube, y'all, search.
Right. Saving America's Amazon.
Which, by the way.
And I think you can use my name, too. I think it'll still pop up. But it's called Saving America's Amazon because I wanted to make it about the Delta.
Right.
And, you know, and so I've got all this content. Once my charter season kind of winds down at the end of May, I'm going to start pumping stuff on there.
It's good. Listen, the back catalog is fantastic.
Yeah.
Did I tell you, like, it was interesting. Saving America's Amazon and the term America's Amazon. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to a podcast, and it's a buddy of mine. Used to work for Primos Outdoors and works for Mediator Network now. And he's doing a thing about the Mississippi coast. And through it, they kept saying America's Amazon stuff. And I sent a text to my, I said, dude, you need copyright. He's like, what are you talking about? That's what the scientists down there used. And I said, well, that's Ben Raines' term.
Yep.
So I was advocating for you, fighting with the people at the Meat Eater Network.
To the whole South. There's a crew from Nature is talking about doing a series about, or a show about the South on Nature, and they wanted to call it America's Amazon. I was like, well, look, this is America's Amazon. And they told me some scientist in Florida came up with the term 5 years ago. And I was like, no. Here's the origin of the term, you know.
It is, you know, and it's an incredible thing, too. I started thinking about this. A lot of the things like we just talked about that the kids are going to get to see. Now, they're big stuff. There's megafauna. There's alligators.
Oh,
people
yeah,
can
yeah.
see, you know.
The, pigs.
Yeah, pigs and
pigs,
deer and all those kind of things. Yeah. That. But the thing that's diversity comes from are going to be from the size of, you know, microscopic to small to up to turtle size. But that's where, you know, people get this idea that it's going to be all megafauna, big stuff, which we do have big stuff, mm-hmm. but those numbers come in from crawfish and turtles. And, you
absolutely,
know,
flies.
Yeah.
You know, we have like one of the largest collections in America of long-legged metallic flies.
Which sounds like Dawkins' third album. What are long-legged metallic flies?
They're those shiny flies you see.
Yeah. What is right now, too, kind of looking at the situation in the Delta, you see some pulling back because of the cold you mentioned and the salinity level. Mm-hmm. Wonder what that's going to mean through the whole cycle. I mean, because I'm seeing pictures.
We're going to have good fall fishing in the Delta.
Well, of course we are.
You know,
we've
already been. That's what a drought means, you know.
Yeah.
And
a lot of those fish won't leave. I mean, redfish actually don't leave at all, really. And I mean, even we've had Mobile River at seven-something feet. And
they do leave when the shrimp leave.
Listen, I'm catching them. I've had the Mobile River at seven-something, mm-hmm. but I've been up in the Tensaw catching. I'm talking about, you know, chocolate yoo-hoo on top and catching redfish. I think they don't know any better. The trout and stuff will go, but the it's going to be interesting to see this year because it is different. A lot of people have been concerned and reaching out to me, too, about the flow, the water flow in the summertime that seems so different, especially on the east side.
Well, it is different. There's more water than there used to be.
That's what they've been saying, why we're getting so much fresh.
The Alabama Power permits for the Coosa River dams got revoked and rewritten. And this was about 7 or 8 years ago. And they now have to release more water every day of the year than they ever did because they would hold it all back for hydro to make air conditioning in mm-hmm. you know, July and August and September. And so that was killing the Coosa River. They had what they called the dead pools where
mm-hmm,
the oxygen levels would drop. They have to keep enough water
that's what,
moving through.
It's that release, so it's back to more normal.
Yeah. This is more what it's supposed to be like.
Oh, cool.
So the fall fishing that we had 20 years ago,
that was
Alabama Power holding back a ton of water and altering the actual hydrology of the system the way it's supposed to be.
But we'll never get back to the, you know, you and I remember both senior Mr. Ladd, you know, old man Ladd, and him talking about how it was fast rise, fast fall, mm-hmm. fast rise, fast fall. Probably won't get back to that.
Well, we will in some measure. We're closer than we were.
Okay.
You know, and that's great. Something that's about to happen in there that people, if is the gar spawning. I figured out it usually happens in the first 10 to 12 days of May. And you go in like little baddie, and you will see 30 or 40 7-foot-long fish.
And they're just like laying in there.
Yeah, they're 2 feet. I mean, they're in 2 feet of water, and you can reach out and touch them while they're mating. It's so fun. Because they think you're another gar rubbing on them.
Well, listen, I want to hear the rest of that story.
How to excite an alligator gar.
Yes. It's cool, too, because the other thing that's going to happen is water's always going to be clear in there, y'all, because of the grass. But this year, the water's clear and even more clear because we don't have runoff. You know.
It was beautiful 2 days ago out there. The water clarity, I mean, it really pretty stunning.
Hey, this is this person had texted. They've been texting for a while and showing me pictures of the mouth of Bates Lake coming out into the Tom Bigby, how shallow it was. And I was commenting, you know, I know this last fall, buddies of mine that were up there, you know, I used to have a camp right down the river from there, and they weren't even able to get out. There's people pushing, I guess, to get the Corps to dredge that or something. But I think the reason people are noticing this is usually this time of year, y'all going to go white perch fishing or brim fishing. The river isn't this low.
There's a lot more water. Yeah.
But then it's...
The last several winters, going back like 5 years, April would be flooded in the upper delta and the lower delta.
Yes.
You know, flood stage. Like, and that's just not happened this year.
So it's going to big difference. Also in bigger issues too, you're thinking, talking about upriver. Where are we with the other lock and dams on the Alabama? Something you and I talked about how little traffic goes through. Couldn't the default be leaving them open and then closing them if we had to use them?
Well, if you leave them open, then the lake would drain.
Well, but not all of them. You know, we could just keep...
Well...
You know, say, like more flow through because, I mean, there's species that want to migrate through there.
Apparently, a lot of the locks, they've been opening them so little, they're getting silted in, and they're having a hard time with some of them. Like, they're not functioning.
So they're not going to drain the whole lake if they go on a, like a... Yeah, we're going to go 4 hours and...
Well, you know, the way they work is you have to have one side or the other closed.
Right, to fill it up. Hold it back and...
You can't just leave it open because then it would just all run out.
Right.
So what they promised they would do years ago was they were going to open it in the morning and the evening for fish.
Yeah, that's what we're...
And they quit doing that. And
so that's not happening.
They also quit. They used to do... Every time a bass boat wanted to go through, they would lock them through. They quit doing that too. They only would do them... in the morning and the afternoon. So we went from multiple openings a day to now two. And that's, you know, a big problem. You know, I don't understand how we got in this situation where you're out west and you've got salmon ladders and fish ladders and things.
People don't think we have migratory fish, though.
Well, exactly, but they do.
I know we do. But, I mean, if you told them we have, you know, the old stories of mullet in the Cahaba River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, people are like, no way. Like, we do have fish that want to migrate.
Up until 1969. That's when Miller's Ferry went in. And that's what shut all that down, and then Claiborne. So that recently, we had Cahaba, you know, mullet in the Cahaba, you know, up around Birmingham.
Yeah.
You know, I've interviewed a lot of older folks who used to catch mullet in the Cahaba River and cast nets.
Isn't that crazy, y'all?
But think about what we're losing. You know, what that is just like with the salmon. It's energy coming from the Gulf and going upstream.
Yep.
And now all that happens is energy from up there comes down, and there's no transport.
No return.
And so we've broken the energy connection of our system.
Is there a way to do that? I mean, because we've known each other long enough. I try to see both sides of it. Pretty green guy, but also want commerce to get. Is there some way? Is there a fish ladder idea? Even though we don't have the same.
Of course there is. I mean, you could imagine
or a tube or something like that.
Imagine a chute. You know, that's like a concrete culvert 3 feet wide and 3 feet deep that's over to the side of the dam that always has a flow coming down it. You know, those fish would find that. They'll
smell the water.
The way they would attract them to come in a lock, they would run a hose, like a garden hose, splashing into the water. And the fish would key on that and come into the lock because they're like, oh, there's current here, just from a garden hose. So we could make, you know, like imagine a water slide, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do these things. We just have to have the will and the demand. You know, Frederick Douglass' famous quote, I used to have it taped up in my cubicle at the newsroom, power never yielded anything without a demand. And so if we want these things, we got to demand them. We have to be the demand.
Very good. Well, we need to keep it because you and I hadn't talked about that one in a while. And that seems like a project that would be a popular one.
Yeah,
people get behind. It's a good, you know.
Yep. How could you be against it?
Right, right. By the way, speaking of Frederick Douglass, before we shut down, go watch Death by Lightning on Netflix.
All right.
Garfield story. It's awesome. All right. Coming back, Ben, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Coming back, second half of this hour.
Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile. with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Good to check in with my man who fights the same battles I do and so many of us do. It's my man Blaine Price from Parrish Tractor and talking zero turns because he and I both got to mow a lot of grass. And, well, we got some more rain and we're getting some more rain. Brother, it's back to mowing time.
That's right. The grass is, if it's not growing at your place right now, it's about to start, I hope. So
sure.
We got plenty of these zero turns, Kubota zero turns in stock right now in our gas and diesel models. They range from 42-inch in cut decks up to 72-inch in our larger diesel mowers. Still strong financing terms with Kubota right now, so come by, check them out, because we got all different models in stock right now.
Okay. What about the used inventory? And I know I peruse, that's a fancy word for looking at stuff, but I'm looking at your website, checking stuff out. That not only gives me what y'all have in Robertsdale, right? It gives me like the whole network.
Right. So we have 8 locations across the Southeast. So it's not only in Robertsdale that you'll see on our website at parrishtractor.com. You can click on our used tab and scroll through all of our used inventory that we traded in and stuff that we've rolled out of our rental fleets. We got quite a few skid steers in Robertsdale right now. So if you're in the market for maybe a used skid steer, definitely come by, check them out, give us a call. We've got open cabs, enclosed cabs with the high flow, so you can run all the different attachments, the brush cutters, the mulchers. We've got them in stock right now. So come by and see them, check them out, or like I said, give us a call as well.
All right. Tell them that website and tell them how to find you in person.
You can go online to parrishtractor.com, or you can come by and see us right here in Robertsdale on Highway 59 at Parrish Tractor. Give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Hey, thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor. Let's get to the text line here, too. Let's we got to go back here some. Let's go back as far as – and by the way, yeah, still more shout-outs for – and big shout out from us as well with Tomahawk Crane and Rigging and Mike Ledlow, who saved Dalton and I's butts today with a crane out here at our building. They were here on one job and they were nice enough to lift a gigantic satellite mount onto the roof for us so Dalton and I wouldn't have to pull it up piece by piece. So thank you. Killer Bees said, I'm with you on the Royals. They're recipients of billions in welfare. You know, and Bees, here's part of my problem is that I've made a career, even when I was in rock radio, I don't understand monarchy thing. I'm a very merit-based kind of person. So I love our republic, right? I love the idea that people are to be respected because of what they've done, not, you know, who their parents were, even though there's some of that. But it doesn't exist like it does in England. And I guess it's a holdover. It's just not ever been a thing for me. But the fact that King Charles was here, they said, negotiating with President Trump over relations between England and the United States, he doesn't make laws, y'all. It's a figurehead. Now, they're saying, well, you know, Keir Starmer has – okay, well, if they don't want to negotiate with Starmer, it still doesn't matter if you negotiate with Charles. He doesn't make the laws. That's why I don't know exactly what's going on here. I would like them to see all the paintings in the White House of the Revolutionary War and invite them back around Independence Day for them to check things out. But yeah, there's some of the station, and Fox News is one of them. I don't know what it is, but they're just up the royal backside. I don't get it, but hey, it's for a limited time, a free country. You can do what you want, watch what you want. Chris in Orange Beach said, on Prime TV, there's an excellent history show about Evel Knievel. Okay, I think I have that too, and I'll watch. Evel Knievel was a thing. I mean, it was, talk about how now we're balkanized and, you know, there's so many places to go and entertainment. And so, but in the olden days, you know, back when there were only the 3 channels and PBS as well, so forth, if Evel Knievel was doing something on TV, young and old, we all stopped to watch that. Shane says, Jimmy Kimmel needs to watch his old show, also known as The Man Show. Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I thought it was interesting, Shane, if you think about it, you have who Adam Carolla is and who Jimmy Kimmel is now. And those two guys were like, and I think they're still friends, but they were kind of buddies on the show. It seems interesting that Adam Carolla's pretty much stayed true to who he was back then on the show, which is a fairly entertaining person. And then you have Kimmel seemingly different than he was back then. Let's see. DEI Texter said, just pretend Kimmel is Greg Gutfeld and you won't get so offended, Fogel. Okay, that was for April Marie. Let's see. Fire Dog. I always loved it when I got a shiny new bloody bike that Santa brought me. Always wondered on Christmas morning why my dad's hands were bandaged. That Fire Dog, that's the truth. That's what I love about what Clint does at Adventure Earth Bicycles. So I buy a bike for the kids. It's already assembled, put together, and tuned. And then get all the accessories for it, too. Believe me, I have been in the Santa's workshop, you know, maybe a few Coors Lights on my side there, putting together a bicycle that didn't have enough parts or had more parts than I needed, which always made me worry. Let's see, from unnamed texter, I think, unless I'm missing your name here, said, Sean, on your opening dialogue and in between commercial dialogue, there's a guy on there that says, what's wrong with the deal we got? The deal we got, pretty good, don't it? What does he say? Oh, well, that is the late Alabama legislative icon, Alvin Holmes. And what he says there is, what's wrong with the beer we got? It's not deal. What's wrong with the beer we got? It drinks pretty good, don't it? That came back during the free, and I play that because it is a prime distilled, I guess pun intended, or actually in that case brewed, example of Alabama politics. And we watch this a lot of times. I will argue this for the PSC bill that was just brought through. They were going to fix the PSC bill, and well, fix it they did. They were probably left over with a lot of parts and broken pieces, right? But the way, back when we had the Free the Hops movement, and this was a push to be able to have craft beers, and these craft beers would come in bigger bottle sizes, right? Different alcohol contents that violated the law as it stood. So we didn't have craft beers coming in because of these antiquated laws and our antiquated system, like the state of Alabama being in the liquor business in the first place, right? I mean, our government runs liquor stores. Does that seem like the job of government? Okay. So back during that debate, Alvin Holmes and there were several others that were paid off, straight up paid off, campaign donations and the like, to oppose the movement into craft beers coming into the state because the people that are already making money from beer didn't want competition. So their argument back then, and maybe I'll have time, I can play the whole thing, maybe when we come back, it was, the argument is, what's wrong with the beer we got? It drinks pretty good, don't it? That Alvin Holmes said. So his retort to the idea of having more liberty and competition in our state for beer was, we're just fine with the beer we have. Why would we want any other beer? That's where that comes from. So maybe we will. I hadn't played that in forever. Let's see. Yeah, we'll see if we get time. We get back here. CB Carl said, like I always used to tell my brother up in Nashville, think about us when you flush. Laura and I took a boat ride with Ben up to the Clotilda. He gives a great tour and fun tours. Absolutely. I took my mama, too, on one of the tours. And like I said, I grew up in that Delta and still learned things on that trip with Ben. Yeah, thank you. People love Ben. Yeah, Ben's a good guy. The tours are fantastic. And the YouTube channel is great. Let's see. Tim said, I'd love to see y'all put that tower up. I could have probably sold tickets. Yeah, it would have been that just putting the satellite mount up was not the big one. If you see them putting up a tower, or we have some old videos somewhere. I think it's so old, it's on a disc. It was a burned disc, and I think it's in my desk back there, about 10 feet, 20 feet from where I'm sitting. We were on a tower. So you got two parts, right? You got the tower, and then the antennas are on the towers, right? So there's two parts. People say the whole thing, there's a tower, and then there's antennas. We were on the one that was there by Pritchard Stadium. So you're going up 65, right? Get north of the 45 exit, and before you get to where the connector is, there to the east, right, there was a tower out there by Pritchard Stadium. We were on that tower, owned by another company, and they sent a crew up to paint the tower. They got to do this because of the salt. You got to have paint on them to make sure it doesn't get through. So they go up to paint, and one of the guys, now they're in, you know, they're rigged up, and they're probably halfway up the tower, and a guy ends up pushing his finger through the wall of this tower. Like, his finger goes through the metal because all the rust on the inside. That point, crews come down. They condemn the tower. Now, we had a brand new antenna up there not long after. It would have been, you know, we're coming up 17 years now on Saturday with the station. So it would probably a year or two into the station. So we had this brand new. I had never worked around a new antenna, a brand new antenna on this tower. They condemned it. And we said, well, what about our antenna? They said, well, you can't go get it. The tower's condemned. Well, they brought the thing down. They brought a crew in that buckled. You want to see something. If we can put that video up. And by the way, the video of the crane moving our antenna mount to the roof is on our Facebook page right now. Tomahawk crane and rigging that lifted up there. So that video, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. You can see it there. But this old video shows them bringing the tower down with everything. And they made it, the way they moved the guide wires, they made the thing buckle and fall. It's something to see. I'll have to see if we can get that transferred off the old disc and put online somewhere. We can see that. It was pretty cool. I mean, it was, you know, it was, now it was pretty tough because y'all can just Google the price of a 6-bay, 50,000 watt FM antenna. You'll see that it was not a happy day for me, but if it wouldn't have been that, I'd have got the gang out there and started grilling burgers and some cold beers to watch. It was something. All right, coming back, more Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms. You want to get that silencer, suppressor, can. You want to get that green light from the ATF. He's made it so very, very easy. It's got a computer system in there. You just go in, plug your information in, and make sure that you put all the right stuff in the right place. Takes your fingerprint, does the photo, everything, and sends that off to ATF. And right now, Jeff's been getting responses within 48 hours. Green lights for people who've been long dreaming about getting a silencer or a suppressor. While you're in there too, great selection of those cans in there, plus a great selection of used and new firearms. All the accessories that go with it, optics, everything. One place, Stone Arms. They're about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard on the south side. They're online, StonearmsInc.com or Stone Arms Inc. on Facebook. And if you go to their Facebook page too, you'll see the latest charity they're doing. They help Lieutenant Matthews raise some money for that 28-year veteran of the Mobile Police Department who was shot by dirtbags at the beginning of this year. Now they're helping out another local person, Joshua Gifford, who was burned in an accident while burning yard debris earlier this month. He experienced extensive burns on his face, both arms, and both legs. He's currently at USA Medical Center Burn Center, ICU, facing a long and challenging road to recovery. Raising money once again like this by doing a, I got to watch the words here because it's Alabama. It's a chance to win, right? And we got such arcane laws to this. Here's how it works. You buy a $20 ticket, cash only, for a chance to be drawn for a $1,500 gift certificate to Stone Arms. You can purchase as many tickets as you want. Each ticket gives you one chance to win. They're going to hold the drawing on their Facebook page on July 6th at 6.05 p.m. You do not have to be present to win. And 100% of the proceeds go directly to Joshua Gifford and his recovery. So all you got to do is go in, enjoy Stone Arms, everything else, and while you're there, buy a couple chance to win tickets while you're there. Check them out online, StoneArmsInc.com or StoneArmsInc on Facebook. All right. You know, I said this, and I went and dug this out of the archives here because I had the question about the beginning of the show intro and one of the clips in there of the late Rep. Alvin Holmes. And this would have been from back in 2008 during the Free the Hops debates. Remember, Free the Hops came in. They wanted to legalize craft beer that had alcohol content higher than the state, you know, 6% cap. Also, it was the size of the bottles. They said, oh, we can't have, you know, it can't be over whatever ounces. I mean, back then, I think we're limited. Like, you could get, I think you could get a, what do we call it? You can get in a crew cab, but no, you get an extended cab, not a crew cab. You know, that's what we call, like, regular cab, 12 ounces. As you go up, you get a crew cab, you know, extended cab, and then the big one, like a 24, like, you can get your chiladas in. That's a crew cab. You couldn't get them that big back then. So they're trying to change the law here in Alabama. And the fight was between the Free the Hops movement and, I would argue to say, the people that fought against them were doing it because they received money from the people who wanted to protect their business, right? They didn't want to have to compete against other beers coming into the state. So here's the extended, and it's not fully extended, but there's about a minute clip here of where that smaller clip from the show comes from. This is from back in 2008, the late Representative Alvin Holmes on beer.
Chair recognizes Mr. Holmes of Montgomery.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it? I ain't never heard nobody complain about the beer we have. It drank pretty good. Budweiser. What's the name of some of them other beer? Budweiser and what is it?
Miller?
Coors. It drank pretty good, don't it? Mr. Jack, who asked you to sponsor this beer?
The Free the Hops Foundation.
Yo, what kind of foundation is that?
These are young people from I would use the term from maybe from Germany that came in with Mercedes.
From Germany?
I would use the term from Germany. That is where the clip comes from. There's even more of that. And if you Google around the stuff of Alvin Holmes legend, calling into radio shows and stuff like that, he was just... he was, by somebody who does what I do for a living, he is missed. He is very missed. He gave me lots to talk about. But there it is. That's where it comes from. Let's see. Yeah, it's funny. Michael says King Charles should have met with Biden. Figurehead tards. Could you imagine the circus that would have been while they negotiated the best ice creams? I mean, Michael, you're vibing with what I am. We're making a big deal. First of all, King Charles is going to address a joint, you know, address a joint seating of Congress. Okay. What is he going to say? I mean, he can't make any deals. He's a figurehead. Chris says, I had a buddy that used to climb up and change out light bulbs on towers. A crazy SOB. Some interesting people that I met that are tower climbers over the years doing what I've done. There's really some cool people travel around the country. And they not only the big radio stakes at 1,000, but some of the ones out in Texas, the TV, they're way higher than that. And their stories, yeah, they're interesting guy. Let's see. Yes, Michael says, I also miss Fred Richardson. Yeah, he made a lot of quotes for me. He did indeed. And he is... he's missed in that, although he's commented on some things as of late. Alvin Holmes can't, because Alvin Holmes is dead. But Councilman Richardson still chimes in from time to time. All right, Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow for another edition of Midday Mobile. And it's our birthday week here, so I'm going to drop gifts off. We're good with that.